A couple hundred years ago, the only thing you had to worry about was a hangover.
You're telling me you're an investigator?
More or less.
Today, because of your curse thingy, you can't sleep with anyone.
I'm not a taint. I'm your boss.
Or else you might feel a moment of true happiness.
You got a real addiction to the brooding part of life.
Lose your soul.
Except for the bulk of it, where I was nearly tortured to death.
Become evil again.
You're a demon hunter.
Rogue demon hunter.
And kill everyone.
It's fucking fantastic.
I love that sound.
Thanks, Cornelia. I always appreciate your perspective.
Is it my open?
Yes.
It is my open. Hey! Welcome to Ale with Angel. I'm Josh.
I'm Rex.
Sorry, I was distracted. When we were doing room silence, you were leaning, and I thought you were like trying to fart silently.
No, I was trying to not breathe into the microphone.
Oh, I appreciate that. Well, today on Ale with Angel, we're going to be reviewing Season 3, Episode 9, Lullaby.
Yay!
Woo! Yeah. There was something else I was going to say, and I lost it already.
Hey, your confusion really threw you off your game on this open.
No, that's all right. So I had this idea. I keep finding these fucking bottle caps, these Reed's bottle caps around the sound booth here whenever we're done. And I'm like, aw, that's a nice little token of that time we recorded last. And I thought maybe, I don't know how sick of freaks you guys are out there, but do you want some authentic Beer with Buffy bottle caps? I mean, they don't say Beer with Buffy on them, but just trust us when we say these are from the recording.
No one wants to buy bottle caps when we went, from us.
I'm not saying buy them. If somebody out there is a weird little sicko and really into that, I will mail them to you for free. Maybe at cost of shipping. Depends on how much you weird me out. If you weird me out a lot, then it's totally free.
So the weirder they are, the more free it is?
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. If you don't weird me out enough, I'm going to charge you. That's just work. That is work for me. I don't get a story out of it. I'm just like, yeah, so I mailed these fucking bottle caps to some fucking normie in Tennessee. I don't know. Probably working an office job or something. Having sex with their wife. Raising their kids. I'm probably happy occasionally, at least twice a day. Fucking asshole. I don't even want to fucking hear it. You know what? You know what, Rex? I'm so fucking over it.
Oh, God. I don't know how to segue into the next part.
Well, I think you should take a moment to pay homage to all of our patron saints of Doodle-Doo.
Ah, yes, our patron saints of Doodle-Doo. Our executive Doodle-Doos are Liam Neville, Monica Fonseca-Taez. I had to write that phonetically.
You got it.
It worked.
Woo!
Tisaba Spike, Audrey Two French Last Names, Bridget McCoy, Dead Sirius, Ali B, Nathan Lancey, Dulcinea, Rachel Doodle-Doo, DTS, Cubby the Seal, Mr. Tabalicious, Sandra Craig, Jay Sommer, Catherine Parkinson, Karen Moon, Chris V-Man, Pat Like Turtles, bad at changing their name heaps, Two-Tone Don't Fucking Call Bradley Cooper Gnome, Father Defenestrato, Methuen da Doodle-Doo, Kelly MC, Jesse Rain, Alex from the Heart, and Carrie Phillips. Thank you so much. Without you, this show literally is not possible.
Yeah.
That list is getting long.
Mm-hmm. And just to tack on to that, we don't have any reviews today. We don't have any, we do have a voicemail. I said we were going to get to it this week. Sorry, Monica. We did share your story about the chicken. We kept calling it a duckling. I would say chickenling.
Oh.
Or a chick, a baby chick. Anyway.
I blame you.
Yeah. So I told that story last week. We're still going to get to your voicemails someday. Someday. I swear it's going to happen. Meanwhile, if anybody out there wants to review us on iTunes, we are still at 69 reviews.
Yes.
Nice.
Nice.
Nice, 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 nice. And then once we get to 75, we're going to give you a free fucking hoodie.
Yeah.
Somebody.
Well, somebody.
One lucky asshole out there. I'm going to sprinkle used bottle caps all over it. Authentic Beer with Buffy bottle caps.
Let me they've been anointed by our recording them.
Yeah, let me know if I should start saving those.
No, they've been anointed by us recording the sound of them coming off the bottle.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. Anointed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You sure you don't mean christen?
No, anointed.
Well, like, yeah, it's better that way, because you know, christen is directly a Christianity reference. Yeah. Fuck that. Fuck that right in the tit.
Well, since we got no other agendas on the list, I think it's time for a mom synopsis.
Joshua, what are you doing, Joshua? Oh, just preaching the holy gospel of Satan. Hail Satan. Oh, Joshua, what a shame. You'd make such an excellent Christian boy. You're such an intelligent young man. Well, actually, I'm almost fucking 40 years old, and if you infantilize me again, I'm never going to hold back anything I say to you ever again. Wait, you've been holding back? Oh my, yes. Well, actually, I'm just using you as a ringer for my grandmother this episode, but hey, it's all maternal emotional abuse, am I right? But Joshua, judge not lest ye be judged. That's right, you judgy bitch. Too bad you're using that argument to hold people back and slap them down instead of holding the transgressors of your oppression accountable. I'm still stuck on infantilize. What does that mean? Well, that's when you stab yourself in the chest and a baby poofs out of the dust around you. That's Satan talk, Joshua! Hail Satan! Because today on Angel, Holtz has Angel trapped in his hotel and Lila barges in and tells him about the whole pesky soul debacle. Angel uses the distraction to escape via a grenade without the use of his hands. Quite impressive. And Lila uses the distraction to steal the Nyazian scrolls and have them translated at Wolfram and Hart. Angel meets up with the A-team, who've just lost Darla, because she drove off with his car after they all fought off some grappler demons in the alleyway. Angel tracks down Darla while the A-team scouts out a safe place for her to have the baby. Darla is having an existential crisis, realizing that the baby's soul is making her feel love and regret and seemingly the whole range of human emotion all at once and all for the first time since becoming a vampire. They land at Caritas, where Lorne is on the verge of getting his security system back up and running for the grand reopening. Unfortunately, Holtz crashes their little miracle baby party and blows it up, literally, with a barrel and a grenade. They escape to the alleyway where Darla sacrifices herself for the baby. Holtz passes up his chance to kill Angel, but clearly with a much more devious plan for the future. The end.
Geese.
Geese.
Geese?
Ducks.
Goose.
Other game fowl that you would see at an overpriced restaurant.
Ladies, gentlemen, spiny-headed little creatures.
As soon as the sun goes down, vampire. As soon as the sun goes down, vampire.
Competition is a beautiful thing.
So we return to our heroic Angel as he is, you know, trapped.
Heroic.
I mean, he's kind of heroic.
What an asshole.
He's a little bit heroic.
I don't even know why we do a show about him.
Sometimes I think that very thing.
What a piece of shit. Nah, he's all right. I'm just fucking with him.
We return to Angel having been captured by Holtz's henchmen. And, you know, Holtz just wants to take this time to fucking monologue.
Yeah, they're having an adorable little serendipitous reconnoitering.
If you ever needed proof that Holtz is the bad guy, you just put him in a room with his enemy directly in front of him, and that's how you tell. If he starts monologuing, he's the bad guy.
He's the bad guy.
Yeah.
This is definitely the episode where he truly becomes the bad guy.
Yes.
I mean, spoiler alert, this is the episode where he sees the Angel not only has a soul, but that he's changed because of it.
Yes.
And that he is kind of a good dude. But he's still right. Like, oh, I'm just going to make him suffer even more now. My vengeance is going to be that much sweeter. Okay, now you're the bad guy.
Yeah.
You fucking piece of shit. All right. Good times.
But I mean, he did team up with a demon.
Yeah.
That, I think, already knocks him down a peg.
Right.
Like he's starting lower than he ought to.
And Angel throws that card at him right out of the gate here.
Oh, yeah.
So,
during the monologuing stuff, basically, Holtz doesn't believe that Angel has changed at all, despite the fact that obviously he has changed. But yeah, it's Angel doesn't really do anything or say anything to defend himself.
He shits a brick real quick once the grappler demons do their little grappling trick. This is why they call them grappler demons.
Yeah.
Because they've got these little grappler tools.
They look like those little claw things that you give to like a T-Rex.
Yeah. You would know, huh?
Oh, fuck you.
Because you're a Rex without the T. You need an extra T.
I will throw things at
these
you.
These are the T's.
I'm going to throw things at
for
you.
For the Rex.
One of these days, I actually am going to throw something at you. And, like,
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm really curious what kind of response I'll get.
I think that's already happened, actually.
Potentially.
I feel like it wasn't anything particularly substantial, though.
No, it was probably the marker I currently have in my hand.
Or a wrapper. I feel like it was a wrapper.
Possibly.
I mean, you didn't shove it up my ass, though.
Well, no. I'm not really interested in doing that to you.
Yeah. That's what you keep telling me.
And despite your years, years of insistence, it's not going
to
change.
Anyway, you did this to yourself, Rex. Because I was just going to say they look like those things that animal control guys use.
Okay, yeah.
Because that's kind of what they are.
Right.
You know, except this one would be more for like a velociraptor.
Yeah.
You know, to detain a velociraptor, not give it to the velociraptor to get things off of high places.
God.
For its grandmother.
Think of how dangerous velociraptors would be if you gave them those.
They can already reach high places. They can jump like 10 or 15 feet.
And then they would
have
even better reach.
Yeah.
They're already terrifying.
Yeah. We could probably also fly because they were birds.
Well, they definitely had feathers, and Jurassic Park is wrong.
Yeah.
But we're not going to go on that tangent.
No.
Probably again.
This isn't.
I'm assuming we've gone on that tangent
this
before.
This is a Buffyverse podcast. We've definitely gone on that tangent at least three other times.
I can't help it. I am very opinionated about the media representation of dinosaurs without feathers.
You should be.
Because dinosaurs had feathers.
I'm happy for you.
All of them.
We are so on
topic.
This is my favorite topic. So, Angel shits a brick. They grapple him. That's how we got there. All right. And then he puts two and two together that Holtz must be what the prophecy was talking about. But then again, he seems to think that about pretty much anything bad that happens these days. What a narcissist. Like, why has everything got to be about you, Angel? Just because the TV show's named after you?
Yeah.
What a dick. So Holtz is like, I'll have my vengeance or something. And Angel's like, but sir, I've changed. I'll shine your shoes for a nickel. I'm a good boy now. And Holtz is like, nah, I'm going to kill you anyway. But first, where's Darla? Here, Darla, 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 blah, blah, blah. That's not an easy one to call.
You know, I find it funny that like, Holtz has been asleep for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
And when he finally gets let free, he's like, hey, I found Angel. And he captures Angel. And he's like, oh, I bet Darla's really close by. And it's like, if he was just off by like a day.
Yeah. That would not have been the case. What good timing. But, you know, that's the whole point of Black Magic.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why he brought him back now, is because he knew they'd be together.
But, like, part of me is like, man, Holtz is getting some validation here that he really doesn't deserve. Because, like, yeah, he happens to be right that Darla's right around the corner.
Oh, validation on that particular time. I was like, man, they murdered his family. I think you're being a little harsh.
I mean, nah.
What a dick. They only had like a lifespan of 32 years anyway. What did he miss out on? Watching everybody die of the Black Plague? That was probably later.
Honestly, though, they would not be in this position if it weren't for the fact that Holtz always wants to fucking torture them.
Yeah.
Because before, in the previous episode, during the flashback, like, they caught Angel. He had Angel.
You're right.
He could have killed him, but he didn't. He's like, no, I need to torture you. It's like, if you weren't, if you could like, just set aside your vindictiveness. You could have had justice already.
Yeah, well, that's how we know he's a villain.
Yeah.
He keeps on monologuing. He's got to have that Dexter moment.
Exactly.
Where he makes them feel bad before he kills them. If he can't get them to feel bad, or at the very least, show their true colors, then, like, he just can't get off, Rex.
The other part about this is like, how is he going to make soulless vampires feel bad?
Well, like I said, either that or... and Angel's already being uncharacteristically apologetic, and he's right. Like, well, that's weird.
This is strange. You've never apologized before.
Odd. It's only been 200 years. But, you know, he would, I think, feel more justified in killing him if Angel spouted off some shit instead.
Right.
Be like, anyway, see, this is why you must die.
We spent far too long on this scene.
Sure.
It's not that long.
Yeah.
Cut back to the car where Darla's going to the labor. There's a nice little line here where Wesley's like, I wish we had those scrolls. And Cordy's like, women have been giving birth without ancient prophecies for years.
Quite a few years.
Yeah, quite a few years.
Yeah, a couple million at least, it seems like.
And
possibly
also
more.
It seems like, hey guys, we don't know what to do with Gunn anymore, so let's just write him as, hard air quotes, the man who doesn't understand birth. That's him the rest of the episode.
Oh.
Because they open up with his first line in the fucking episode is, if you ask me, we really need just some Vaseline and a catcher's mitt.
I mean, she's a vampire, though.
Right, but like, pretty much every line he has this entire episode is just this tone.
So I'm Gunn.
Yeah.
Because it's not that I know nothing about childbirth so much as that's funny.
I mean, no, like, it is humorous, but it's still that same trope of like, well, I don't know what to do with this character, and I'm just going to write him saying the dumb shit about pregnancy that men say.
Yeah, that's too bad.
And it is.
And they pawned it off on Gunn. He deserves better characterization than that.
Yeah, they really need to get the fuck on that again.
Yeah, they should have had, like, Fred say that line.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that would have been better.
Yeah, or Cordy. Cordy could have gotten away with it.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe just do away with the casual misogyny altogether.
Actually, no, it should have been one line, and she should have been like, well, women have been giving birth without ancient prophecies for years. Now, what we really need is Vaseline and a catcher's mitt. That would have been hilarious coming out of Cordy.
Yeah, she could have pulled it off. I'd love to see Charisma Carpenter do some stand-up, actually, even if somebody else wrote it for her. Like, I have no idea if she herself is funny per se,
right, but she's good at the delivery.
She's great at the delivery. My point exactly. Like, even Jerry Seinfeld barely wrote any of his own content. It was all
right.
And half Larry David, at least.
A great number of professional comedians don't write a lot of their own material.
Yeah, sometimes you need a whole team of people to come up with that shit.
Yeah,
but anyway. Yeah, catcher's mitt. So Wesley just wants the scrolls. Wesley does something stupid, go figure, and tells Darla to do that fucking Lamaze breathing technique.
Yeah.
Which makes her nearly literally explode with rage. And she's just like, I don't. Bam! And just like, everybody flew in like five directions. I'm like, how is that possible? She's only got two arms.
She like, there's a term, I think it's called frog splash.
Uh-huh.
Like when you go to jump into a pool and you just stick your arms and legs out as far as they go. And it's like a belly flop, but it, you know, it's trying to get maximum coverage when you slap into the water.
I guess she just used her legs. Yes.
Yeah, because she kicks Cordy and Wesley and she punches Fred and Gunn.
Okay. That makes more sense then.
But just the comedic image of her laying in the back of the car and like all four limbs, like she's doing a laying down jumping jack
like a frog,
yeah,
as she splashes into her own puddle of amniotic fluid.
That's brought up later.
Yeah.
But it is also a very valid point, like, what the fuck, Wesley? She doesn't need to breathe.
Yeah, she's like, I don't, bam, breathe, and then she breaks down crying. But yeah, she doesn't breathe except when inhaling and exhaling air, but it's strictly not for survival.
Right.
It's just habit and necessary for speaking.
Yeah, she needs it to speak.
Opening credits. And then we go to old timey time
flashback,
where we get some overlap from last episode of Holt riding home and finding his dead wife. But this time
he finds his not quite dead daughter.
Not super dead, but a little bit dead. And she's like, Papa, Mommy won't wake up. And he holds her and he sings softly. And there's a lot of really just drawn out languishing shit in this episode.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to get through it fairly quickly, which is why we're not caring too much about running off on stupid tangents.
Right.
Deal with it.
Deal with it.
So I'm like, he brushes her hair back.
Yeah.
And he sees bite marks. And I'm like, oh, is she a vampire?
I think she's a
vampire.
Or
is she just strangely calm after having been fed on? Who can say, really? And his deputies show up or whatever the fuck they are. They're at the doorway, but he tells them to fuck right off, and he sits there in shock for a little while.
Yeah.
Now we go back to modern-ish timey time at the Wolfie Wolf Venison Shack. You kill him, we grill him.
Yeah, and so this is where we get the discussion between Lila, Linwood, and Gavin. They're talking about Holtz. No one knows who the fuck this dude is. Who is this guy fucking up our shit? And Linwood explains quite calmly to Gavin and Lila, you know what? I don't know who he is. I don't know what's going on here. I don't know anything. And if you claim that I do, I'll fucking kill you.
I'll fucking murder you and your family and anyone that was in the room at the time.
And rest assured, when we have our staff meeting next week, I will act very surprised.
Shocked and appalled.
In not so very subtle terms, hey, you fucked up and I'm going to throw you under the bus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what a piece of shit.
And by throw you under the bus, I mean eviscerate you and murder you.
He's not very supportive.
He's really not.
For a boss, is
he? He's a very accurate representation of bosses in current capitalistic society.
You're not wrong. Yeah.
I don't want to share my feelings. I don't want to open up. I want to find the guy that killed Tina, and I want to look him in the eye. Then what?
Back at the Hyperion, Angel tries to pull out of Holtz how he managed to pull off still being human 200 years later.
Yeah.
It must have been black magic, and Holtz is a bit preoccupied, however, with trying to find Darla, and he's ignoring all of Angel's inquiries, up until he asks what Holtz had to give up to make it happen, to which Holtz is like, I had nothing to give up, you saw to that, and Angel corrects him. He's like, your soul, sir. I couldn't take that away from you. I mean, he could have if he'd turned him into a vampire. But, yeah, whatever. Holtz is like, what do you know about souls? And Angel's like, I know that they're tasty and that yours will be destroyed if you let yourself be used for evil.
I know that they're tasty.
Or Angel could have just said, I was cursed by gypsies to have a soul. Unless I experience right. true happiness, then I lose it. And there.
Like, okay, there. On one level, I can see he's probably not mentioning that he has a soul because he probably just assumes that Holtz wouldn't believe him anyway. What good is that?
Yeah, and he'd probably be right.
He's probably right. But also, on some level, it's like, dude. You're on the same team now, technically.
Yeah, kind of.
Like, maybe. Maybe you should be like, Holtz, oh God, I'm so glad you're here. We can kill vampires together.
Like, at least give it a shot.
Right.
You know, maybe he's not going to believe you, but at least seed the idea in his head and he'll figure it out.
Exactly.
Eventually.
Granted, there's no necessarily good reason why Angel should believe that Holtz would be reasonable on any level, but also there's no reason to not believe that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, at least try.
Because all of Angel's knowledge of Holtz is from when he was an evil fucking vampire.
Yeah.
Maybe he might be able to be reasoned with.
Just maybe. Also, quick sidebar. I don't know if I've ever said this before. I probably did, but what a stupid curse. Like, I'm sure we've talked about this at length, but this fucking gypsy curse, I can't help but continue thinking about how much it makes no sense.
Yeah.
Like, who is it helping if he happens to actually attain true happiness and then he loses his soul? Because then the gypsies are personally responsible for, again, unleashing Angelus on the world.
Yeah.
Those stupid fucking gypsies could have just given him his soul back and said, have a nice life. Stop killing people, please. Thanks, bye. Enjoy your vitamin D deficiency and drinking only pig's blood.
Through this episode, they're dealing with the fact that Darla, while she herself does not have a soul, she is being affected by the soul of the baby. That's why she's going a bit crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Why is cursing vampires with gypsy souls, like, why is that not in Angel's just normal arsenal? Like, they were able to curse, the whole Buffy crew was able to curse Angel with his soul again after he had become Angelus.
I feel like it took some doing, though.
Yeah, I guess, well, oh, no, I recall now that fucking teacher, Miss Callender, was one of the gypsies. And so, like, that's how they were able to recurse
yeah.
him. Yeah. But, okay, so they can't do that specific curse, but you can't tell me there isn't some way to, like, just start giving vampires their souls back.
I'm pretty sure Spike finds a completely different way to get his soul back.
Yeah.
There's definitely other ways to do it. You can pretty much just custom program your own spells, it seems like. You know,
I have so many things to say about Spike getting his soul back, but I've been holding on to it for literally years.
Yeah, we'll get
because
there.
I want to get there in the show.
Yeah, obviously we need to because I don't remember shit about it. Made a tiny little bit.
So many things to say. Anyway, we're not there yet. Yeah. We need to get back to this.
So Holt supposes for a moment that perhaps Angel really has changed. Angel touches a nerve by saying, I remember you used to work with men, you know, as opposed to demons. Still very masculine demons, but again, species not gender in this case.
Right.
Very important distinction that I appreciate them continuing to make.
Yes.
They didn't just now, but I am.
Right. No, it is a funny
that
joke. That
actually would have been a great gag to bring back.
Yes, I think any time we have what's his fucking name?
Sajan?
Sajan. Like till the remainder of the time when he's no longer on the show, I think that should be a recurring bit.
I agree. I hope it comes back around. They already missed their chance once, though.
Yes.
What
yes.
are you going to do? So, when Angel touches the nerve, Holt smacks Angel so hard that we transition to Wesley also being smacked, but yes. by Cordelia. And not very well. But yeah, he's still down from being kicked by Darla.
I have a fun fact for you today, Josh.
Oh?
Yes.
What is it, Rex?
I learned just recently that the line of, like, if you're knocked out for less than 5 minutes, you might still have a concussion, but you'll probably be okay.
Mm.
If you are knocked out for more than 5 minutes, you definitely have brain damage.
Ah.
So if you get hit in the head and you're unconscious for more than 5 minutes, you got brain damage.
That sucks.
Right? It puts perspective on all the times in TV shows you see people get knocked out.
Yeah. It's good to know. Good to know. Because that the closest I've ever come to a concussion. Well, okay, I've hit my head a few times. None of them have I ever lost consciousness.
I have literally knocked myself out twice in my life.
Jeez.
Or, well, rephrasal. One time I was knocked out, the second time I knocked myself out.
Right. Is that when you fell off your bike?
No, the second time I knocked myself out, I walked into a fucking pole.
Oh, wow. Oh, wait. No. I did get knocked out one time, but I was super little.
Ah.
Pretty sure I've told this story before, but my brother and I were playing tag, or I was just being chased by my brother out on a fucking private airport tarmac.
No, I've never heard this story.
I feel like you have. That's okay. I'll keep telling it. Anyway, I kept looking behind me to see how close he was, and I ran into a fucking airplane wing.
Oh.
I got clotheslined by an airplane wing.
Oh, God, that hurts just thinking about it.
Yeah, at like the age of 4.
Oh, man.
3 or 4. And I remember I think maybe it's just a gap in my memory. Or so I either blacked out or it's just a gap in my memory.
They're very much like they may as well be the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, but there's lots of gaps in my memory from that far back in my childhood.
Well, yeah.
But I remember looking up, you know, from laying flat on my back and seeing a group of people circled around me. So I was definitely laid flat for a couple of minutes.
I don't remember how old I was the first time I got knocked out. I was older than 8, younger than 11.
Hmm.
So there was a 3-year span of my childhood. I don't, when this happened, I don't remember when though. At the time I loved baseball. I wanted to be a pitcher. And me, my cousin and a bunch of friends and my brother, we were all playing baseball. And I pitched the ball, and my cousin hit it, and it knocked me the fuck out.
Oops.
I don't remember. I remember him hitting the ball, and the next thing I know, I'm on the ground waking up with people standing around me.
Yeah.
Because the ball hit me directly between the eyes.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
I couldn't be a pitcher after that. Anytime I got back... Like, any time I tried to play baseball after that, I was fucking terrified.
You should be.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But the second time in my life I got knocked out, I was an adult. This was in 2008, and I was working in a Radio Shack.
Hmm.
Yeah. And it was super busy. It was, like, Christmas season or whatnot, and I had sold a display item, so I needed to get the box for it. And I went into the back of the room, and the back room of Radio Shack had these big sliding shelves mm-hmm. with all their product on them.
Mm.
And the thing is on the far back shelves, there were the antenna poles, the 10-foot like hard aluminum antenna poles. And they stuck out about 3 feet from the end of the shelf. But all of our display boxes were in a stack behind that. And I was in a hurry, and I ran back there, and I ducked under the pole and then dug through the boxes and couldn't find the box. And the customer was getting real pissy about how long it was taking. And when I finally found the box, I stood up, spun around, and smack right into the pole. And next thing I know, my coworker's like, dude, are you okay? Huh. I was fucking out. I do not know how long I was out. It definitely was less than 5 minutes, though.
Wow, that was a lot of details.
No, it's just because the second time I knocked myself out was really stupid.
Yeah.
And capitalism's fault.
I do blame capitalism.
Yes.
And also Radio Shack sucks.
Yeah, which is why it doesn't really exist anymore.
Correct. So anyway, Wesley stands up and he's cleaning his glasses and looks over at Darla, who is babbling to herself.
I was surprised to see that she's still there.
Yeah?
Like, when she knocked them all away, I thought she was going to run off.
Well, where's she going to go?
I get that, but like...
She's in a bunch of pain. Anyway, she's just kind of going crazy, which this doesn't really end up going anywhere, but they established that she's babbling to herself. And he asks if she's well enough to travel. They all pile into the front seat. Darla, for some reason, is offended that no one wants to sit in the back seat.
Hold on, though. It is funny because, like, everyone piles into the front seat and she's like, no one wants to sit back here with me. I promise I won't throw you out of the car when it's moving.
While it's moving, yeah.
And then Fred's like, actually, it's because your water broke back there, and yeah.
It's not that we don't trust you. I mean, we don't, but yeah. Fred gives it to her straight. I like that about Fred.
No, I thought it was funny because, like, she is, like, visibly upset that no one wants to sit by her. Mm-hmm. But then she can also admit, okay, it's probably because you think I'm going to throw you out of the car. I promise I won't do that.
And at this point,
like, she's in tears.
And at this point, I'm still questioning. I'm like, why?
What the fuck is going on?
This is so uncharacteristic of you, Darla. Yeah. Why do you care? And also, yeah, why are you even still hanging around with these people that you just want to murder because they're people?
Exactly.
And you're a vampire. Anyway, Wesley wonders if they have a tire iron in the trunk right after he starts the car, or, you know, perhaps a hurling axe, some sort of heavy mallet. And at this point, I'm like, what are you getting at, Wesley? Or did you just have a change of heart about the baby? Like, maybe we should just...
Well, and they're like, what are you getting at? And I think it's Gunn asks, why? Do we have a flat tire or something like that?
Yeah. Or maybe we should just fucking, since Angel's not here, let's just fucking kill Darla.
Yeah.
I think that's the best course of act. You know what? better to ask forgiveness.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm shocked nobody in the group has gone that route.
Right.
At this point.
But no, it's because there's a bunch of grappler demons at either end of the alleyway surrounding them now.
Yeah, they're now surrounded.
You're not real. Or I'm not real. Someone up here isn't real, and I suspect it's you. So if you're not real, then that means that my head came off back there and then I'm dead now. Dead.
And, so back inside, Holtz is torturing Angel just a little bit, you know, like, it's just punching him while he's being restrained. It looks more like foreplay to me.
It does, in fact.
A little bit. Angel doesn't seem too terribly tortured.
Next thing you know, Holtz is going to get out the silk ropes and the frilly little blindfold. And, you know, eventually he's going to pull out the floggers and things of that nature.
And the big black dildos.
I mean, of course.
Yeah. Or, you know, whatever. So a grappler demon comes in the front door and mutters something in Holtz's ear, sweetly, softly, sensually. And he then announces loudly, "Ah, you have her, and we're expecting Darla to come in, but they bring in Lila instead." And Holtz is all like, "Who the fuck are you? You're not even a vampire."
No, she's worse. She's a lawyer.
God damn it.
She's fucking a true lawyer. Bloodsucker.
Yeah, exactly. She's all, "Nah, I'm a lawyer. Sorry I bothered you. I didn't realize you were torturing him. Carry on, my wayward son." And he's like, "Do you actually know what he is?" And she drops the G-bomb and she's like, "Oh, yeah, vampire cursed by gypsies who restored his soul, destined to atone for centuries of evil, wacky sidekicks, yada, yada." And Holtz is like, "What?"
Shenanigans ensued, I tell you.
I'm telling you. Oi. So Holtz is like, "What? Gypsies? Angel, you're holding out on me, bud. What's all this about gypsies?" And Angel is not particularly forthcoming, even though it seems like this is his best chance to talk Holtz down if he can convince him that he is technically a completely different person than who killed his family. But, you know, that's just me.
Well, and he, earlier in the previous scene, he was like, "Yeah, I've changed a lot." And Holtz is like, "No, you haven't." And he never did anything to try and, like, convince him.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, "No, I've changed." "No, you didn't." "Fine, I guess, if you say so."
We've got a whole episode to fill here, man. Can't go saving time by, you know, being efficient, so.
You know, this episode, it's not as bad as some. It's not as bad as the previous episode, but in learning a lot more recently about writing dialogue and writing scenes like this, it really has taught me the degree at which there's so much fucking filler in these episodes.
Oh, yeah.
So much. To the point where, like, I think the reason Angel has been pissing me off so much lately is because a lot of the filler is at the expense of the characters.
Yeah.
Like, because, like, Angel is not this fucking wishy-washy.
Right.
He is way more succinct and to the point and direct than this bullshit.
Yep.
And he would unquestionably, as the character has been established to us, he would have out of the gate been actually Holtz. "I have a soul."
Mm-hmm.
"Like, I am not the same person who did all those horrible things to you. And I am so fucking sorry that I did all those horrible things."
"Have you tried apologizing?"
Right. Like, he would really, like, lean into the, "Oh my God, this is fucked up. I can't believe you're alive." Mm-hmm. "And holy shit, how are you alive?"
Well, this is all very validating of my instincts anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, Lila's like, "Okay, well, I'm going to just go ahead and leave you two lovebirds to it. You know, I think 20 seconds should be enough for y'all to climax, yeah? I'm going to go call a maid service for all these unsightly dead people."
Yeah.
"Don't you worry your pretty little heads about it." But Holtz is like, "No, you work for the law." And she's like, "Oh, honey, I'm a lawyer. There's a big difference."
Right.
And Angel kicks a hand grenade up into his mouth and pulls the pin somehow and drops it at his feet. He warns Lila of the impending doom of a duck sneaking up on her to steal her bread and get its gross corkscrew penis all over her. which was very nice of him.
Oh, is that what he was doing?
Yes, he said duck.
I know he said duck, but I thought he was warning about the grenade, but man.
You got to read between the lines, Rex. I thought you were supposed to be the story expert now.
You missed my pun.
Huh?
I said, that's just foul behavior.
I did absolutely miss that. And also, it was foul behavior. There was a misbehaving foul.
Yeah.
With its slappy, gross corkscrew penis trying to get in on the action. Like, come on. Just let these two adults enjoy themselves, please.
Oh, man. That just immediately went to, in my head, to me telling you about that fucking study that exists of gay necrophilic rape among ducks or geese.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember if it's ducks or geese, but I remember telling you about that on the podcast.
Yeah. I think I made some honking noises.
Yeah.
That could have been an entirely separate episode.
Did the copy of the episode that you were watching, did it have weirdness going on with the editing when it showed the grenade on the ground?
Yes.
Yeah, what the fuck was that?
I blame Hulu. Were you watching it on Hulu?
No.
Oh. Huh. Weird.
The fucking editors fucked something up.
It was like jumpy?
Yeah.
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 That's weird. Like, I could tell
it. I thought something was wrong with the file that I had.
Yeah, I assumed it was just some slight, like maybe they just had a slightly corrupted file.
Oh, I bet it was something up with the copy from the DVD, and that's the file that Hulu has.
Possibly.
I bet you that's
and
what it
yeah,
is.
And yeah, they're not going to bother to
no, they don't fucking
go back. What do? Do we get a different DVD? No, fuck no.
Right.
It's Angel.
It was some shitty fucking editing, though, and it's like, I really want to look into see if that was, like, actually aired, you know?
I do technically have the DVDs. They're at my brother's house. I could
but
go get
see,
those.
See, the files I was watching is the DVDs, so it'd be the same file.
Hmm.
But I'm really curious, like, if we could get, like, the VHS or any if they had VHS of it.
I don't think they did.
I don't know. Or like a recording from the fucking TV.
I think we were firmly past the age of VHS when Maybe. This came out.
I don't know. I don't remember when things happened. I'm 40 now. I can't remember shit.
I have a vague intuition about it.
I'm a few years from being old man yells at cloud.
I know. It's all right. It's all right, buddy. It's going to be okay.
It's very depressing.
No. Take your pills and get back in your box. Get ready for your sponge bath.
The whole Angel escaping with a grenade strikes me as the writers in the writing room were like, guys, how the fuck do we get him out of this?
Yeah, like, this did not track for me at all. Drops a grenade at his feet. Yeah. I thought he was going to kick it at Holtz.
Yeah.
That would have made sense.
That would have made a lot more sense.
Or at... I mean, we can't even really tell. We can't see very well what is holding him in place. But it's basically just a fucking Roadrunner cartoon at this point.
Oh, God, yeah.
We see some fireworks-style explosives go off, and then there's a goddamn angel-shaped hole in the wall behind him.
Like, the thing is we're actually kind of serious about that.
I'm not really exaggerating.
It's not, like, cartoonishly angel-shaped, but it's the elevator shaft, first off. And it's obviously like paper. Holtz does look through the hole and sees that it's the elevator shaft.
Yeah.
It's fucking ridiculous. It's so fucking ridiculous.
It wasn't great. I didn't go back and look at it too hard. I was like, I'm pretty sure I'm looking at some bullshit right now. So I'm just going to shimmy on right past it.
Yeah.
So Holtz freaks out and sends his demons off to look for him. But real quick, he has to threaten Lila that if she sends more people, he'll kill them too.
Yeah.
And he asks her about Darla, if she's also cursed, and she's like, nope, pure free-range evil. Love that evil. And she tries one more time to strike up some kind of deal with him, and he's like, right. The only business of mine is to send her back to the hell that made her. And Lila's like, all right, I give up.
Fine, you know what? I can deal with that.
You do you. Just go. And Lila calls a guy named Harvey for full cleaner service.
Yes.
Do you get this reference, Rex?
I don't.
That's fantastic. That makes me so happy. This is a reference to Pulp Fiction. Because, do you remember when they shoot the guy in the back seat, John Travolta and Samuel L. Jackson, and John Travolta just keeps casually turning around and flapping his gun around and then accidentally shoots?
Right, I recall that.
So they have to get a cleaner for this to get themselves out of this fucked up situation. The cleaner is, the character is named The Wolf and is played by Harvey Keitel.
Oh my, that's a deep reference.
Deep pull.
That is, wow.
And that came out in 94, so this was very easily well after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is about...
This is about 10 years after that, and by this point, the...
Probably more like 7, but yeah.
Oh, I mean, it's at least 2001, 2002.
Nope. It's going on a decade.
Yeah.
It's pushing a decade.
It's nearly 10 years, so Pulp Fiction has been a hell of a classic since.
But yeah, she very specifically says, "Hey, Harvey...
Yeah,
I need full cleaner service."
That's good.
Uh-huh. And his name was The Wolf. She works for Wolfram, and now Harvey Keitel's working for Wolfram and Hart.
That's fantastic.
Basically the headcanon here.
That's my headcanon.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then this is the point where after calling that in, she sees the scrolls, and she takes all the notes and steals all the informations, you know, like the bitch she is.
That's, yeah, yes.
Honestly, it's the smartest thing she could have fucking done.
No, it was pretty clever. Good for her. Cut to the alleyway where the A-team collectively fights off the grappler demons until Darla gets in the driver's seat, runs over two demons, backs over one more, and then fucks right off. Yeah. All the way out of the alleyway, yep. Stealing the car.
You know what? Fuck this. I'm done with you guys.
I'm going to Mexico. And they all stand and watch her drive away. Angel runs up behind and joins them, and he's like, "What are we looking at?"
Like, he knows what's going on. The fucking car is gone. Darla's not there.
That was still
God,
fun.
He's not that dumb.
He's not that bright either.
I mean, he's brighter than that, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, it was funny, though.
Yeah, it was funny.
And quick bullshit commercial break.
Yep. Yeah, Angel at this point has explained the Holtz situation. They're in shock about Holtz. Fred goes on a bit of a tangent here about the convergence and gives a pretty solid guess as to what's happening.
Yeah, maybe Holtz is just playing a small part in this confluence of events, and perhaps if he kills the baby that was otherwise supposed to be some kind of messianic figure that somehow brings about the end of the world. Yeah, yada, yada, yada.
And then I liked at the moment where she realizes that maybe she's gone a little too far. She goes, "Or not. Could go either way. Have you thought of a name?
Have you thought of a name yet?" The good recovery. Yeah. That was some solid recovery. Angel goes off to find Darla before Holtz does, leaving instructions for the rest of them to find a safe place for Darla to have the baby. Wesley checks if Angel got the scrolls, and nope.
I liked that at this moment, Angel's like, "Hey, I'm going to go find Darla. I can do that faster on my own." Nobody argues.
Yeah.
There's no bullshit convoluted, like, "No, we should go with you," or any of that bullshit.
"But I have to go alone."
Yeah. None of that. It's just like, no. Like, yes, Angel is definitely skilled enough to find her on his own.
It will be faster.
Yeah. And also, obviously, the humans provoke Darla. Stop leaving Darla with the people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They can't handle Darla. Stop it.
I'm just really glad that we're finally getting out of the fucking alleyway.
Right?
Because we've spent way too much time in this fucking alleyway. Like, it already gives me anxiety just because the moment that they stuck around longer than Angel told them to, I was like, "Guys, get the fuck out of there."
Right.
And then it's, "No, let's..." She's in pain now. Now we have to just stay forever.
I personally think it should have been Angel coming back and be like, "What the fuck are you guys even fucking doing here?"
Yeah, I told you to leave after 5 minutes. It's been like an hour. Two.
"Why were you here in the first place? You're all fired.
You fucking tits."
Oh, right. He's not the boss anymore.
So yeah, he could still say it.
Yeah, fair.
I say it to people all the time. Especially people that don't work for me.
Exactly.
"I can hold a note for a long time. Actually, I can hold a note forever. But eventually, that's just noise. It's the change we're listening for. The note coming after and the one after that. That's what makes it music.
So we cut over to the Gerba thump thump.
Yeah, where Lila's having the scrolls looked at by the in-house translator. I love the bit where she explains to him that she highlighted the important part on the scroll. And he's like, "You highlighted an ancient, priceless scroll?" And she's like, "Yeah, in yellow."
In yellow. What of it? You're welcome, bitch.
And then, you know, he is, first off, this dude has obviously not been working at Wolfram and Hart long. There's no way in hell. He's too fucking happy to have been working here for any length of time.
Well, you know, I mean, we haven't quite gotten there yet, but so she threatens his family. She's like, "Well, why don't you go ahead and have this to me by morning? Otherwise, I'll kill your whole family." And then when we come back to him later, he hasn't changed a damn bit. He's as happy. And I'm like, okay, this guy belongs here.
Oh, he's that kind of wrong.
Yeah.
I bet he's a morning person, too.
Yep. So, yeah, he's been up all night at the threat of the, under duress.
Yeah, under of duress.
The threat of violence towards his family.
Yeah.
And he's unaffected.
Valid fucking point.
So he's fine. I don't feel bad for this guy. Either that or he's just grace under pressure, you know.
Well, and we know he's not dumb. He can translate ancient scrolls, so it's not stupidity.
No. Well, book smart and street smart is two different things.
Valid.
But anyway, cut to Sajan's lair where Holtz is kind of pissed that Sajan didn't tell him about the soul thing because it's a whole different ball game.
I like how they play this. They play this where Sajan is like, "Well, okay, yeah, I didn't tell you, but what's it matter?" And he reads Holtz as being upset that he can't torture and kill Angel now because he has a soul. And Sajan's trying to like convince him that, no, it's fine that he has a soul. And then he suddenly realizes, no, Holtz isn't pissed about that.
Yeah, it's not because he can't kill a vampire without a soul, but it's because it changes how he's going to track him.
Yeah.
And Sajan's completely on board with this now that he understands why Holtz is upset.
It also, this is the moment where you realize, oh, Holtz actually likes the fact that Angel has a soul because he sees this as the torture and whatnot that he's going to do to Angel will be even better.
Right? Yeah. Sick fuck. And he asks Sajan if he's withholding any other information. Sajan's like, not that I can think of. But it remains to be seen if he actually knows about Darla being pregnant or not. And I don't think we really find that out by the end of this episode.
We don't, but I am 100% positive that he knows.
It seems likely that he knew.
Because "not that I know of" is too much of a, you know what, this is what I'm going to say just so I have an out later.
Right? Yeah.
I want to tell him, I want to lie to him and cover my ass at the same time.
Oh, that, you know, that completely slipped my mind. Yeah. She did know that.
She's a vampire, though. She can't possibly be pregnant.
But what's it matter? What's the big deal? Anyway, cut to Darla being pregnant on a roof.
Yeah.
And oh boy, is she sure being emotional, but it's because she knows that she doesn't have a soul, but the baby has a soul.
And it makes a lot of sense at this point why she's been losing her goddamn mind.
Yeah.
Because she had to go through... She's had to speed run the torture that took Angel years.
Oh, yeah.
But the other part about this that, like, actually, like, truly cuts a little deep is she is afraid of giving birth to the child because once she does, the child will no longer be in her. She will no longer have the child's soul, and she won't be able to love the child anymore.
Yeah, and she's scared of not having that feeling anymore, and which, like, really humanizes her a lot in this moment.
And this right here is really good writing and really interesting, and they honestly did not do it good enough. Like, the rest of the episode surrounding this, something is lost in the delivery, I think, because, like, this is an important emotional beat, and it just does not hit as heavy as it really should.
You're not wrong. but that's okay. I'm going to make it all better.
Okay.
I'm going to fix all that delivery problem nonsense with, guess what?
A plot hole emporium?
A dramatic reading.
Ooh, even better.
Is it?
It's been a while.
It's been a minute. I think a plot hole emporium would have been better. I couldn't find one for this episode, and I missed one that I should have done last episode.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to do a dramatic reading.
Yay!
Yay!
So Hold on. Let me get the popcorn. It's drama. Popcorn's required for drama.
It is, in fact. All right. You better not make any fucking crunching noises.
Deal.
All right.
I'll crunch off microphone.
Good. Starting with Angel. Like I needed to specify.
Right.
Gotta get into character. Well, you'll do the only thing that you can do. You'll have it. You'll have it, and then what? We'll raise it? Why not? It's impossible. This whole thing is impossible, Darla, but it's happening. What? Do I have to offer a child, a human child, besides ugly death? Darla, you know it's true. No, what I do know is that you love this baby, our baby. You've bonded with it. You've spent 9 months carrying it, nourishing it. No, no, I haven't been nourishing it. I haven't given this baby a thing. I'm dead. It's been nourishing me. These feelings that I'm having, they're not mine. They're coming from it. You don't know that. Of course I do. We both do, Angel. I don't have a soul. It does. And right now that soul is inside of me, but soon it won't be. And then, Darla, I won't be able to love it. I won't even be able to remember that I loved it. I want to remember. And scene.
That was good.
Thanks.
I approve.
All right. For not having rehearsed it, I appreciate that compliment. I want to eat a piece of candy now, but...
We're recording.
It's a bad idea.
Yeah.
It can make a lot of smacking noises if I eat that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was pretty much almost that whole scene.
Time to go to...
Caritas! You're welcome.
Where Lauren is having the guys, the contractors, finish up the work on the club. And, you know, the gang wants to have Darla give birth here.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
I mean...
Bust out the kiddie pool. Fill it with booze. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Get that baby drunk. It's his birthday.
I mean, it is his birthday.
Yeah.
But he's a little on the young side.
It's his first birthday. Got to make it a special one. Woo! Calm down. Calm down. Gonna be okay.
Back to the rooftop with Darla and Angel, because they cut back here later.
Oh yeah, he's trying to get ready to reopen, but doesn't want all that unsightly afterbirth all over the place. Softens up a little when Cordy firmly asks if she needs to tell Angel and Darla that they're not welcome. Lauren clarifies that the place will always be a sanctuary. And then he fires the security guy that's doing the install of the security system.
That part happens later.
I don't think it does.
No, I just apparently completely missed writing that.
Like, yeah, we do come back here, but yeah, it's kind of an important plot point that he fires the guy working on the security system installation because he was humming and Lauren was able to read him, and turns out the guy's been milking the job by leaving connections undone on purpose and then being like, well, it's been a bit more finicky than I thought it'd be. And of course, he's a fucking union guy and makes a fuss about getting paid for the full day. Like, so there's a demons electrician union, whatever.
Apparently.
Yeah, turns out.
Good on them.
Yeah, canonically.
Yeah.
In fact, there is.
Yeah, good on them. They're getting their representation.
Yeah. And so Lauren snatches the instructions and's like, I'll finish this. How hard could it be? Famous last words, buddy.
Yeah.
Now we're back to the roof.
Back to the roof. Darla wants Angel to protect the baby from her. Wesley calls and says that they found a place, although there's a slight delay. Everything should be up and running by the time they get there.
uses the phrase, "They everything should be safe as houses by the time they get there."
Yeah, safe as houses. That's an old saying.
Yeah.
It's an English saying. I don't really know what it means.
I mean, it makes sense in a vampire world because houses are mystically protected from
vampires.
That's
a very good point.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look up
it. Actually makes more sense in this context.
Actually, you're right. It does.
But Lauren continues to fiddle with the wiring while Fred slaps gun repeatedly to test the anti-violence system.
I love that he didn't even, he's just taking it.
it was pretty funny. She's like, smack, no. Okay, how about now? Smack, no. Okay, how about now? Smack, no.
I like that he's having to report back. Like, they're not just taking the smack as the sign. Like,
as the no.
He actually has to have the reply.
Can I get a written report? Have that on my desk by Monday? Jesus Christ. So Angel says to Darla that they should get going. We're back on the roof now.
Yep.
Because the storms are coming, but she's in distress and breathing heavily. But it's not contractions.
She feels something.
Something else. Dun, dun, dun. Also, dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
You got it.
I'm with Wolfram and Hart.
Everybody should have a lawyer like this.
Mr. Winters shall never be convicted of any crime. Ever. Should you continue to harass our client, you'll be forced to bring him into the light of day.
I want that stricken from the record.
A place I'm told that's not all that healthy for you.
Back to the doggy sheep snort snort.
Yes, the prophecy has been fully translated, and the guy's like, you know what? Thank you for giving me those stolen notes. That would really help things along.
Yeah, I think I am going to continue being extremely pedantic and a little twat, even under duress of threats of violence to my family.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But it turns out that the prophecy isn't about a birth, it's about a death.
Oh, no.
Just death. Everything's death.
It's very morbid.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? I did enjoy this little bit, though, because he's being very pedantic and Lila's extremely frustrated.
Yeah.
And this is actually kind of a quote of the day for me. So Lila's like, the birth. What does it say about the birth? And he's like, well, actually, it's funny. It doesn't. What do you mean it doesn't? But you said it did. Yes, I did say it did, but it doesn't. And he's like, in a way. And she's like, I have a gun. And finally, he just fucking reads the goddamn translation like he should have done in the fucking first place. It was very who's on first.
It had a little bit of that.
And so what it does say is, for surely in that time when the sky opens and the heavens weep, there will be no birth, only death. Which, spoiler alert, not 100% true.
No. I mean, if you get technical, but we'll get there.
Yeah, we will.
We'll get there.
It definitely rains. It's right about that.
Yeah, it definitely rains.
Definitely a lot of rain.
So we do a flashback to old timey time again, where it's the day.
A diddly diddly dough!
No, not a diddly diddly dough. This is in England.
A diddly diddly dee?
No. I don't know what the English equivalent of that is.
A fiddly diddly day?
No, that's a bit more southern.
Hippity dippity do.
There we go. That's doable.
All right.
That's doable.
Great.
No, this is the next day. Holt's, you know, his men come in. And they're like, hey, we need to get going. We got to go do things. And he's like, you know what? I don't want this daughter anymore.
Tosses her outside onto the dung heap. Fertilizes the garden
done
with her.
This one now. Let's go get a new one.
Yeah. But, you know, most daughters, to be fair, aren't so defective that they burst into flames in the sunlight.
This was a very interesting choice, I think, from the angle of the character of Holtz. Because, one, it's the way it's presented to us is that bursting into flames via the sun is far more painful than being staked through the chest.
Probably.
But also, like, not only does Holtz choose the death for this vampire that was his daughter the most painful way to kill her, but he also does it in the way that, like, he doesn't directly have to do it.
Well, this is what I would have chosen, because I was starting to think, oh man, now he's got a dilemma, a logical dilemma here of what if he stabs her in the chest and she's not a vampire, it'll right. still kill her. But if she's not a vampire, you can throw her outside and she'll be just fine.
That is a good point.
So maybe he wasn't 100% sure.
Yeah. I think you're right on that count, actually.
Mm.
That makes a lot of good sense.
Mm-hmm.
2 points for Josh.
Yay. Yeah, fuck Gryffindor.
Seriously.
Yeah, but really, Gryffindor. Though.
We cut back to Cardass, where the security system is still not working yet. Angel and Darla arrive. The labor has slowed nearly to a stop, apparently.
Yeah, I'd have really just bullied the damn contractor into finishing the fucking right. job. But
hell, at the very least, been like, look, finish it right now, and I'll pay you for an
extra
day.
I'll pay you for the full day.
Yeah.
Or even an extra day. But then I'm never going to hire you again, you milking cunt.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, you were saying?
The labor is slowed to a stop. They don't really understand what's happening. She's still a little bit loopy and a little bit crazy and weepy. Contractions are getting further apart.
Oh, that labor. Yeah, I was like, labor. Well, yeah, he fired him.
No, the pregnancy labor.
Yeah, yeah, I get that now. I'm keeping up. It's fine. Everything's fine.
But there's a little bit of back and forth. Gun gets slapped again, this time at least in the back of the head, which seems better.
Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, still not working.
Yeah. But also, I think, like, couldn't you, like, smack him on the shoulder or the back? Why the face?
Because it hurts more?
I guess.
It's more traditional violence, I guess. I mean...
I suppose.
What if you're just fooling around and you smack somebody on the arm? But then again, when it does start working, it is a smack on the arm
right.
that gets blocked. Anyway, I kind of enjoyed the uncharacteristically civil exchange that Darla shares with Fred and Cordy. It was really adding on to the previous scene where we're seeing Darla in a much more human light.
Right.
You know, there's thank yous and apologies and everything.
Yeah, and like Darla and Fred are both like, what the fuck is wrong with her? Just in their facial expression, it carries very well.
Hormones. It's hormones.
Yes.
Yeah. They really fuck you up.
Mm. I mean, they do.
Yeah. But Angel and Wesley have a little aside about the pain. It's not contractions. It's something else. They move her to the bedroom, and Fred notices there's blood left on the chair where she was sitting, which is funny because literally just last night I was watching an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, and it's the one where Larry David's friend lies to his wife that Larry has a bleeding rectum, and that's why she couldn't join them for lunch. But really, it was just because Larry didn't want her there.
I don't know the episode you're speaking of, and that's a hell of a lie.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a hell of a lie. That's a big part of the episode. But then he comes over later in the episode for a dinner party at their house, and hilarity ensues. Because
he doesn't know.
She's worried that he's going to bleed all over the furniture, but he doesn't actually have a bleeding rectum.
Right.
So Darla, on the other hand, however, is... firmly
she's bleeding from somewhere.
Bleeding from that general zone. That's for sure.
That's also not good.
Yeah, it's definitely bad in a pregnancy. Even for a vampire, I imagine.
Yeah.
Back to Sajan's lair.
Yes, where the security guy rats on them.
What a piece of shit. And I mean, it turns out he was very obviously a spy all along, I think.
I think so, too.
Seemed like. So he tips off Holtz to their location, Cardass, obviously.
Right.
They must have had a lot of spies. Otherwise, they would have just gone to Cardass to look for them anyway.
Right. Well, and it makes me wonder just how connected is Sajan?
Probably quite well.
To know the degree of information that he has about Darla and Angel and everything.
Yeah, but also I bet there's not too many underground demon bars either.
Well, right, yeah.
So at least two.
And I'm sure there is some level of knowledge within the demon community that Lorne is in some way, shape, or form connected to Angel.
Mm-hmm.
So that would make some sense. But either way, he's a backstabbing asshole.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit, which is why Lorne fired him, but it goes deeper than that.
Yep.
And I'm surprised Lorne didn't pick up on that part, too. But
what if the demon security guy was specifically fucking up the job so that that's the thing that Lauren would pick up on and not his double-crossing spying bullshit.
Fucking
with the job was part of the cover to hide the spying.
I think if he was that smart, he just wouldn't have hummed.
I mean, that's fair.
Anyway, so we're back at Caritas already.
Yes.
Angel's all worried about Darla and the baby. Wesley pulls him aside and tells him the baby's heartbeat is very faint and he needs to be prepared for the worst.
Right. And he's pointing out that Darla's body can't give birth. Cordy brings up, hey, what about a C-section? Well, they can't do a C-section because the mystical force that's protecting the pregnancy would likely kill the baby.
They pretty much established that last episode. Either that or I jumped to that conclusion when they said something about not being able to stab the baby.
Right.
I'm like, well, that means they can't even do a C-section. And they all argue some more about the possibility that the baby could, in fact, be the scourge of humanity. And also, there's this question of whether or not the powers that be have anything to do with all of this.
Right. And Gunn specifically cautions that the protection on the baby might not be the powers that be. Like, they're not actually helping this.
Yeah.
Maybe they're the power behind the people trying to stop the pregnancy.
Yeah. Maybe the powers that be are the ones that are killing the baby right now.
Yeah.
On purpose. Huh.
And you know what? This is a time where Gunn is saying the things we're all thinking. It's like, you are kind of jumping to some important conclusions here, Angel.
It's a harsh reality that needs to be considered.
Yes.
Definitely.
Very much so.
And Cordelia points that out as she slaps him, and apparently hard enough to set off the spell.
Yeah.
And she's like, why you gotta be so fucking honest all the time? Because Angel's pretty attached to the idea of having the baby and protecting it and raising it now.
Well, yeah.
And he's kind of upset by what Gunn said, so he fucks off into the bedroom. But then Lauren gets the security system up and running at exactly this time as Cordy slaps Gunn for his brutal honesty. And we cut over to the bedroom,
where Angel sits with Darla, and they have a really nice kind of sweet moment here. I really liked this. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very obvious that in her state, Darla deeply trusts Angel.
Mm-hmm.
They do a very good job of conveying that Angel is extremely torn through this whole thing because A, he wants the baby born. B, he also wants to protect Darla. But you can tell he's also torn on the fact that he understands that if the baby's born, she's no longer going to be the same person that's currently ensouled, kind of in a weird way.
It's complicated.
It's a complicated situation.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of feelings involved here.
God damn it. Darla, don't you know how much feelings I have? Oh, yes, I do. But only just now, since you said that. Anyway,
since I'm a vampire, I don't have any sense of empathy.
But I have this baby soul inside of me. Yeah, everything you just said. Love it. Good job. Print it.
This is really, if you think about it, an interesting take on the idea, the trope of pregnancies make women crazy.
But this is anti-crazying her, kind of.
In a way, yeah.
Yeah. Hmm.
It does make me wonder if they are ever going to touch on the reasoning why Darla was able to get pregnant in the first place.
Mm.
I'm very interested in knowing that. Mm. I don't know if they ever reveal that or not.
Yeah. I don't remember where this whole thing with the baby goes at all.
I vaguely remember it, but not very well.
We'll see.
We, in fact, will.
There's nothing so lovely as dreams. Everything's in them. Everything hidden. Open those chambers and you can truly understand someone. And control them.
So we're back out in the bar area, and just as the party is about to start, and Lauren's like, that's it, we're all drinking on me, Holtz wanders in.
Yeah.
But of course, no one recognizes him.
Right. Because the only two people who know what he looked like are in the bedroom.
Are in the other room.
Feeling things.
Those fucking tits. Titty fucking over there.
I mean, they might be.
Hmm.
I don't know what they're doing behind closed doors.
Right? Who knows? Ah, jeez. Lorne gives Holtz a flyer and tells him to come back for the grand opening. Holtz starts singing that same lullaby that he was singing to his daughter earlier in the old timey time scene. It's very creepy. It's appropriate, and it makes sense why the episode is named Lullaby.
Yes.
He walks out slowly singing that creepy lullaby, and Lauren's just like, I'm making some drinks.
It takes Lauren a little longer to pick up on reading Holtz.
Yeah, just a little longer than I'd have guessed.
Yeah.
But it hits him all at once, and he's like, run.
Everyone run.
Everyone run right now. What? What's good? Shut up and run. Like when Lauren says run, you fucking run.
If you got a psychic in the room and the psychic says fucking run, you fucking run. You don't hesitate. You don't go, why is this psychic telling me to run?
I'm going
to
need an explanation.
No, you don't, because he's psychic. That's the only explanation you ever fucking need.
I'm going to need you to shut the fuck something. Up and run. Because shortly thereafter, a barrel clanks down the stairs and a grenade just afterwards.
Yeah.
And boom.
Boom.
Caritas go boom.
As the gang gets into Lauren's bedroom, I think it was a gun that's basically like, yeah, apparently the security doesn't do anything to stop people from throwing things into Caritas.
Sure. That still doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, it's fire, so
right.
Like, that's going to be a little more difficult. Like, it's definitely good. How would it handle bullets, though? Was it blocking bullets?
Yeah, like with little like force field things.
In the episode a while ago where Gunn's old crew broke in,
I don't remember what it did with that, but
it seems like it would, though.
Yeah.
But yeah. Is it going to use force fields to block burn damage?
I mean, the little like light force field thing that happened when Cordy smacked Gunn.
Yeah.
Like that.
Seems like it could just encapsulate everyone in a force field.
What this tells me is that at no point would the spells on Caritas help against robots. And that's a big weakness you missed, Lorne.
Oops.
Fucking robots.
Fuck.
You got to cover the robot angle.
You got to cover the bases, man.
You got the demons, which I would also argue would cover aliens because they're
not human.
Exactly.
Hmm.
Then you have the humans, and then you need robots.
What about bears? Angry badgers.
I don't think anything can really protect you from an angry badger, except maybe another angry badger.
That seems unlikely, though.
I mean, it depends on if you have a pet angry badger.
I don't know if it's protection so much as a distraction.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know the trick. If you have an angry badger or an angry bear, you only need to run faster than the other guy.
Yeah. Anyway, these are all questions that will be answered in good time.
Yes.
Probably.
Maybe not so much the stuff about the bears.
I'm going to go ahead and make that promise to our listeners right now.
We will scientifically prove how to deal with an angry badger and a bear.
Yeah, that's going to be a whole different podcast, though.
Yeah, we'll do that after we finish Angel.
I'm going to call it Robots and Bears and Badgers. Oh, my.
Robots, Bears, and Badgers. I like it. Print it.
Print it. It's evil. Yeah, everybody's freaking out in the bedroom where they all fell back to.
Lauren points out that, hey, behind the bed here, there's an old dock exit that they can bust through the wall and get out. They take their sweet-ass goddamn time with just Wesley and Gunn trying to do something with a fucking Buddha head and statue.
Yeah, while those guys are over there, you know, being productive, breaking a hole in the wall to get out in the alleyway, Angel is bringing Darla up to speed about Holtz. And Darla's having to go through all the emotional turmoil of realizing how much they fucked Holtz back in the day and understanding that now they're all really extra fucked.
Yeah.
But they break out through the wall. They finally are like, hey, Angel, need a vampire strength here, asshole. Right. And he's like, oh, sure. Boom,
yeah,
boom, boom.
Okay.
No problem.
I guess I could save us all.
I guess we could survive or something. And he breaks through the wall, which I expected there to be a rolly door behind the wall.
Right.
Maybe there was, and they just didn't show that part.
No, I mean, the wall they show is only like 2x4 thick.
Yeah.
That's it.
And if that's like, directly exposed to the open air.
Like, granted, they live in L.A., so maybe it's not as a necessity to have as good of insulation.
Sure.
But also, like,
you still got to block moisture out.
Right. A, you got to block moisture, and B, you want to keep your fucking AC inside.
Right.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, you want to keep the AC in.
Yeah.
You want to keep the rain out. You need more than just that thin wooden wall.
Also, I want to know what's around this building, because Holtz walks downstairs to get into Caritas. They're on the same ground floor when they bust through the wall, and they bust out into ground level.
You're right. They
and
do.
I have all sorts of questions here.
That explains why that was so, like, that didn't feel like that's what should be on the other side of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a whole number of reasons. Like, there's a lot of little things in this episode where it's like, the guys in the writer room did not think through some of
their shit.
They
didn't think that through very well.
They're like, oh, well, how do we get, I guess we'll just use a grenade to get them out of this situation.
Yeah, it's always felt like a basement level bar.
Exactly.
But apparently you have to go into the building, go up to at least the second floor
yeah.
to come down into Caritas.
Which is just, that's a weird layout.
Dumb. That's dumb. I don't like it. But that's logically what must have been happening.
So Darla can't really walk far. They only step a little ways out of the fire, and she lays down on the ground. The fucking rain is pouring.
She's being all dramatic.
Yeah, she's being all dramatic.
I
Angel,
can't go on.
Angel tosses someone keys to the car, I think gun, to go get the car.
Leave me. We're not going to leave you.
I do have a quote of the day from Darla in this scene. And not quite for the reasons you might think, but she says, Angel, our baby's gonna die right here in this alley. You died in an alley, remember? And it's like, it's super dramatic and it's not supposed to be funny, but also like, hey, Angel, your baby's about to die. Remember, you died in an alley too. You'll have that in common.
Aw, baby's first death in an alleyway. Just like his daddy. Gosh.
Just
yeah. Well, I'm glad you got a kick out of that. But it started to actually lock in as a truly dramatic scene for me.
No, it did.
When she starts to talk about wanting to apologize to him for that, because she's the one that killed him in an alleyway.
Yeah.
And turned him into a vampire is what she's referencing, I believe.
Yes.
And she's like, I want to apologize to you for that, but I can't. I want to apologize and mean it, but I can't. And I'm like, really? I really thought that you could now, because this baby soul has got you all fucked up.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Angel sends them off to get the car. Fred stays for some reason.
Because Fred is a good person and has a heart and thinks that maybe they shouldn't be left alone in these trying times.
Yeah. But Angel's like, it's going to be okay. Darla's all, nope, not once he's gone. I won't be okay. And I don't know what I'll be talking about the baby.
Right.
They can never make up for all the terrible things they did together. And this baby is the only good thing that they ever did together. I thought that was a very important thing
to
note.
It was a great, great line.
Yeah, and she's like, make sure to tell him that. Oh, by the way, stake through the heart! Well, that escalated quickly. I was like, damn, I was actually not expecting that.
No, and like I've been thinking this episode and the last, like, if she can't give birth and you can't do a C-section, just fucking stake the bitch.
Yeah.
The kid's going to be fine. He's not a vampire.
Yeah, I really didn't think they'd ever kill her again. I thought we would never be rid of her.
I really, at this point, she better not fucking come back.
They'd have to go through a whole thing. But, I mean, this isn't Supernatural. They're not right in the business of bringing people back well, that much.
I think this is one of those moments.
You only get two resurrections in the Buffyverse.
This is one of those moments where it's like, if they bring her back, like, you are doing a painful disservice to the character and story.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of the things that has always bothered me about TV shows like this when they bring characters back. It's like, way to cheapen the moment.
Mm-hmm.
It just bothers me.
And by the 15th season of Supernatural, it was like dime store smut. Every time they brought somebody back, it's like, okay, oh, he's back. Oh.
Ooh.
It's like a fucking bottle rocket.
I think we're finally done with Darla.
I think we are too. And so now there's this naked baby just fucking lying there in the alleyway. Thankfully, by the grace of God, it's being rained on, so we don't have to see all the...
Well, there probably wasn't any of that.
All the gooey shit.
There probably wasn't any of the gooey shit.
There was definitely some blood. There would have been some blood.
Yeah.
But TV shows just love showing all the gory details all the time. And even though they tone it down, I still just... Blah, it grosses me out.
Yeah.
Alex really called me out on that in our... In an episode of Wubba Lubba Pod, they were like, have you ever seen a real birth in real life, Josh? I was like, no. And they were like, it shows. And I was like, damn! Burn! Oh! All right, fine. Fine. But you know what else bothers me? Anytime they show somebody puking.
Yes.
In a TV show.
Even when it's fake.
Also, well, it's always fake.
Well, no, it's not.
Maybe
always
not
fake.
Always, but it's usually fake.
Usually fake.
And that doesn't make it any better. I still don't want to see that shit.
Like, even if it's really fake and very, like, obviously fake and not well done in any way, shape, or form, it still bothers
me. It's still fucking gross. Stop doing it.
Yeah.
I think I've only ever seen it once, and now I don't remember when. Where it actually furthered the plot and it wasn't just fucking gross.
Right. No, so the scene ends up with Holt stepping out of the fucking building. He has his crossbow leveled at Angel and he lets Angel go.
Yeah, he's holding up the crossbow at him as Angel picks up the baby. And he slowly, we see his face expression soften a little. And he eventually lowers the crossbow and Angel eyeballs him and slowly walks towards the car as it pulls up to the street and the demons just let him pass. Sajan yells at Holtz. He's like, take the shot. What are you doing? You can't let him get away. And Holtz is like, oh, I promised that I would show no mercy and I intend to show no mercy or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's like, ha, 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 he's going to be, I'm going to be evil. Don't worry. Still evil.
Oh, I know exactly, like, the moment he said that, it clicked exactly what he's thinking.
Yep.
He wants Angel to have time to love that child.
Oh, woof.
That's what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to do to Angel what Angel did to him. And he needs Angel to love that child and, like, truly become attached so that he can rip it away from him in the worst way possible.
He's got to have something to lose. Damn right. Wonder if maybe he'll even keep the kid and raise it as his own.
I think that's actually what happens.
I think that might actually be what happens, yeah.
I think that...
Because they got to get rid of the kid somehow. We don't need a baby on the TV show.
Right, and there's a whole convoluted thing about it, if I recall vaguely. But we're not going to discuss that. That's later stuff.
Yeah, just as evidence of how convoluted that is I just thought of that just now. I did not remember it.
Right.
Like, it's such a bullshit writing point. Anyway, Gerarg.
Yeah, Gerarg. Gerarg.
Gerarg.
Is this for me? I must be ready. I need my strength.
Give me more!
Nights, I shall walk in the earth.
Hold on. You've got something in your eye.
How'd you feel about the episode, Rex?
Okay, there were moments where it, like, really hit well, but it's still a lot of nothing. I don't know what the fuck is going on with the writers of this damn show, but they, like, this is another episode we've had in a long line of them now where it's like nothing is fucking happening. they're taking these short kind of plot things and drawing it out in a way that is not good. Like, they could have done it in a way that, like, emphasized the emotion, but they're it's like the whole fucking grenade thing. They keep writing themselves into corners where they're like, well, I don't know how we're going to get out of this. Let's throw something really stupid at it and make it work. And it just, it doesn't work. Any of the good moments that this episode had felt cheapened to me by the stupidity of the rest of the episode.
Yeah, I completely agree for once.
Yeah.
I don't think I have anything to add to that.
Well, they didn't give us enough to fucking work with to add much more.
Yeah, I am going to push back slightly that the good moments were cheapened by how much the rest of the structure of the episode was garbage. Because the good moments still were engaging and made me pay attention. And I was, and the gravitas hit me like towards the end. Like just before Darla staked herself, I was starting to be like, I think some shit's actually about to go down. And then she staked herself. And then they kept going with this gravitas, with the slow-mo and actually doing it well for a change.
Right.
And not as a bad editing cover-up technique.
Yeah, exactly.
And now I think the ending of the episode, especially visually, was fantastic.
Yes.
I finally... And it pissed me off so much that we were back in this fucking alleyway that took us so fucking long to get out of.
Granted, it was a different alleyway, but it's still an alleyway.
It felt like the same exact fucking alleyway. You're right, now that you mention it, it was a completely different alleyway. But we started in an alleyway, we ended in an alleyway. I don't know, but cinematographically, I really liked the rain with the demons standing there as Angel walks past them and the fire in the background. It all felt very larger than life.
Yeah. Like, in the drama of the last scene here was pretty fucking good. It's just...
Well, them killing off Darla again, I was like, oh shit, I did not think they would do that. And it brought some, no pun intended, it brought some stakes back to the table.
Here we go. Here's the part about it that bothers me. It would have had more of an effect on me if it had had a more worthwhile buildup. But the progression of Darla, as far as like being evil and losing her shit and being a little crazy, like it wasn't done in a way that was building. It just felt fucking chaotic.
Yeah, it could have been better. I'm not saying it was perfectly well executed, but those moments... There were well-executed moments.
Actually, no. I'm going to say something that really does not fit for me. Mm. I actually think the problem is there wasn't enough Darla.
Go on.
I think...
Are you pregnant with a baby right now, Rex?
No. So this was what? Episode 9.
Is it soul sucking on your will to live?
Bear with me. This is episode 9, right?
Yeah.
What if... They had brought Darla in like episode 3 or 4 and like had the previous episode, episode 8, as kind of that episode be 3 or 4. And then they had like a couple Monster of the Week episodes with Darla at the hotel being fucking crazy and pregnant. Mm-hmm. And like as a side thing that they're dealing with while dealing with other shit. And then that gives us time to get comfortable with Darla being in the picture. Like, and then
damn near bring her in as one of the A-team, you're saying.
Yeah.
Mm.
Where like we establish her and give a couple of episodes of establishing her having a soul.
Yeah.
To where we actually start to connect with this character in a way that we've never been able to before because she's been an evil fucking soulless being. So then we get several episodes of connecting with her so that when this happens, it cuts so much deeper.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been a lot more effective. And honestly, probably could have added some much needed depth to other episodes.
profoundly needed depth.
And arcing story.
Exactly.
That wasn't really there either.
I think that would have been much better executed. But with this only doing it where we bring Darla in for like two episodes. Yeah. Okay. We had one or two moments, like essentially at, quote, after credit scenes of Darla being pregnant and like hinting that something big is going to happen. Ooh, big fucking deal. When she came back into the picture, she was just evil. And then she's like evil and then crazy evil for one episode, and then this one she's crazy emotional and then suddenly like heartfelt emotional and like we're actually supposed to feel bad for her. And it's like, no, that could have been like five episodes.
Yeah, it's a very fast progression. Not enough time to get attached, you're right.
And also the thing that like both the last episode and this episode felt like it didn't really have a lot of meat to it was because this was a story that should have been done more in the background. Of building up this character so that we feel something more of it. And then it would have added a lot more weight to us feeling like, shit, we don't want Darla to die.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't fucking care. I don't care if she's dead now. I'm actually a little grateful we don't have to fucking deal with her anymore.
Right. I did really enjoy how they established Holtz and gave him quite a lot of depth and backstory. Yeah. And it's like, okay, they were obviously going to make him the bad guy anyway, but now they've taken the steps to give us reason that even though he was wronged, he is also now the bad guy.
And, like, no, that's fine. I like how they did that, but could have even been done a little more subtly over a little bit longer time, and it would have had even more of an effect. Like, the moment where...
I mean, they did a double episode.
Not good enough, though. Not for the season arc. We're talking the season arc here. And we know that the writing on this show can be better than that.
Mm.
And that's where my problem is. The writers who work for this show were much better than what they did for this.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
There's my answer to what I felt about this episode.
All right. Did you have a quote of the day, Rex?
I guess I should have. I don't know.
Like, this is the closest I've ever come to wanting to just say, fuck it. No, I don't have a quote of the day.
I'm going to go with Angel, our baby's going to die right here in this alley. You died in an alley, remember? Just for the multi-angled absurdity of that line of like, hey, this is a big tragic moment. Remember, I killed you in an alley.
Yeah, that's not bad, actually.
But also, I'm giving it that quote because me looking in, like, it wasn't meant to be funny, but I laughed.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go with Lila's line, I have a gun.
I had a feeling you were going to pick something Lila said in that bit.
Because it made him stop being pedantic, which was driving me crazy.
Right?
Yeah, I was like, dude, answer the fucking question.
Don't get me wrong. There are times when I am pedantic as fuck. But there's also a time and a place for it. And, like, this is your employer, dude.
This is also the woman who's got multiple hypothetical guns pointed at your family's head right now.
And possibly some very real non-hypothetical guns.
Yes. There could be a team at the house right now that has your family on their knees with guns at the back of their heads. Yeah. Just waiting for the fucking go. Yeah.
So this has been another episode of Ale with Angel. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. Join our Facebook group. Interact with us. Share memes. We love interacting with our fans on there. It's a lot of fun sometimes. If you'd like to support our podcast.
Only sometimes.
Well, it's been very active lately. And, you know, that's kind of partly on us.
I blame you.
You know what? I will accept that blame.
Cool.
I've been a month and a half without my Adderall, and it's showing in every aspect of my life.
What?
Anyway, if you'd like to support us, the best way you can do that is to give us a review on iTunes. And remember, if you give us a review, A, you can send us a screenshot of your review, and we will send you a free sticker. Again, multiple people who have given us reviews have not sent us information to send them free stickers. We literally just want to give you free shit. But also remember, when we get up to 75 reviews total, we're at 69 right now. Nice.
Nice.
We are going to be giving away a free hoodie. If you would like to more directly support us, you can do that by just giving us your hard...
your hard cock right in the face.
If you'd like to support us financially, you can just give us your cold, hard-earned cash with going to Patreon, patreon.com/beerwithbuffy. We have some perks there. We really should get new perks, maybe. But we could name a cat. We haven't named a cat in a long time. I kind of want to name a cat. If you'd like to get things for your support, you can do that by going to our shop and buying some merch, beerwithbuffy.com/shop. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can do so via email, beerwithbuffy@gmail.com, or give us a call or text our voicemail number,
269-743-0783.
As always, thank you so much to JJ Treadway for your opening transition musics. This has been Ale with Angel. I'm Rex.
I'm Josh.
Have a good night.
You too, Rex.
You can tell I really didn't have my Adderall with just how difficult it was to get through all that bit. My mind kept wandering, man.
Was that the only hint?
I'm trying. It's hard. Enslave yourself to this cult.
You don't like the color?
You have a sacred birthright. You were chosen to destroy vampires, not to wave pom-poms at people.
Why can't you people just leave me alone?
Done. Why are we watching this?